And Richard has 111.
Bill's going to give me my...
The way it came, which means my down is the same as Lee's.
It's time to go.
We're ready.
Here we go.
I'm about.
Good morning. I'll call to order the House Committee on Redistricting.
And I'll open the Senate Committee on Redistricting.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming today. We are the House and Senate Committees on Redistricting. This is one of the final road hearings we'll be conducting around the state to gather public testimony on the redrawing of congressional and legislative lines in the state, which we do every 10 years following the federal census. I want to thank the University of Oregon and President Richard LeRivière, who's here, and we'll have him speak in just a moment. First, I want to invite the members of the both committees to introduce themselves. Why don't we start at the far left?
Senator Floyd Przanski, District 4. I would tell you you're in my district with Representative Hovey. Unfortunately, you're just across the street. It just happens that this building and the old Condon Elementary School are in my good colleague's district, but the rest of my district includes all of the rest of the university proper here on the main campus area, as well as parts of Lane and Douglas County. And welcome.
And I'm Lee Beyer. I'm state senator from District 6, which does include this building, along with Representative Barnhart. And I represent Springfield, the western portion or eastern portion of Eugene, and the rural parts of eastern rural parts of Lane and Linn counties.
I'm Chris Telfer, senator from District 27, which is known as Sunny Central Oregon or Deschutes County.
I'm Suzanne Bonamici. I represent Senate District 17, which is in Washington and Multnomah counties, and I am a very proud graduate of this fine law school.
I'm Chris Garrett. I represent District 38, which includes Lake Oswego and a good portion of southwest Portland.
Kevin Cameron, House District 19, South Salem, East Rural Salem, Almsville, and Turner.
Tobias Reed, I represent District 27, which is Beaverton and some parts of unincorporated Washington and Multnomah counties.
State Representative Paul Holvey, to be clear, I represent areas that include Matt Court Arena, Hayward Field, and going west and south Eugene and west out to Bonita, Crow, Lorraine.
That's right. Sal Esquivel, Representative District 6, Medford.
And we have two colleagues who are not on the committee but have joined us today because they have a some local perspective to share. Would you like to introduce yourselves, please?
Thank you. I'm Representative Terry Beyer, and my district is the community of Springfield.
And I'm Phil Barnhart, and you're welcome to House District 11 this morning. We are on the corner of that district, the boundary line being 15th Street and Agate Street. So The new residence hall is in my district, but all of the existing residence halls are in District 8. I should also note that I graduated from the University of Oregon Law School, but it was at least one building ago, and I attended the first 2 years of law school in two buildings ago. So I never actually was a student in this building.
And I understand that Representative Nathanson may be joining us a little bit later, and Representative Hoyle intended to be here, but I understand is ill today. So we'll get started in just a moment. Let me briefly explain what we're doing. When you walked in today, you were given a handout with some maps, population statistics, and several questions. We have statutory criteria for drawing legislative and congressional lines. Some of them are straightforward in terms of being contiguous, compact, and observing jurisdictional boundaries like county lines and city lines. We're also instructed to preserve communities of interest, and that is not defined in the law, and people have different points of view on what that means, and so that's why we do these hearings, is to hear from you exactly how you would define your local communities of interest. With that, I'd like to invite President Richard LeRivière forward. I was working on that all the way down here on I-5 this morning. And he's going to just get us started, and then we'll start with our public testimony.
Well,
Co-Chair Garrett and Chair Bonamici, representatives and senators, thank you very much for the opportunity to welcome you to the university. It's an honor to have you here. It's been really wonderful personally to watch the legislature in this state. The last time I had anything to do with redistricting was 10 years ago when there was a fellow by the name of Tom DeLay who influenced things in Texas pretty dramatically, including trying to scramble the Texas National Guard Air Force to interfere with the exodus of the Democrats to avoid a quorum. And that resulted in one of the great exchanges I've ever seen on the floor of a legislature when everyone finally came back together. One of the leaders of the Republican Party was excoriating his colleagues for their flight and said that while the Democrats were drinking margaritas around the pool in the Four Seasons in Ardmore, Oklahoma, we were here attending to the business of the state. To which the Democratic leader replied that only a Republican would think there's a Four Seasons in Ardmore, Oklahoma. In any case, we're very honored to have you here. I want to thank you personally for your service. I know what your lives are like, how much of your lives are eaten by your obligations here. I also know what kinds of compensation you get, what kind of support you get, and my hat is literally and figuratively off to you. I'm deeply grateful to you for your service, and we're honored to have you here, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any comments for the President? Questions? Thank you very much. So we'll proceed with public testimony. I think we're going to have, we have maybe 10 folks signed up. We won't have a problem with time, but I would ask that we try and limit testimony to about 5 minutes. Once we get beyond 5 minutes, it gets hard to track. So we'll start with our first panel. We have two microphones, so we'll call up two at a time. Kelly Lovelace and Dennis Morgan, please.
Pens all over the place. Well, thank you for my opportunity to testify. I agree, you guys all do a lot for not very much, and I appreciate your service.
Need your name for the record, please.
My name is Kelly Lovelace. I live in Pleasant Hill, which is in East Lane County, in District 11. Basically, I thought I would testify about District 11. I'm very familiar with the ag part of Lane County and Linn County, and have lived in that area for 20-some years and lived in Oregon my whole life. One of the problems I see with District 11 is you have Linn County to the north, which is very heavy agriculture, and northern Lane County and on the east side of the river, which is agriculture. And then you have Coburg, Cresswell, and the Pleasant Hill area, Brownsville, that are the small towns in the district. And then we have a chunk of Eugene that is very urban. And if you are in agriculture, you're almost exactly at war with that area of Eugene. The two are separate entities in how they think and look at the world. So that becomes a problem for those of us in the rural area of Linn County. If you, the list is long of things you could talk about on it. We had the field burning issue for many years, which the city of Eugene fought very hard against. If you're in agriculture out here, you may have thousands of geese eating your crop. City of Eugene isn't exactly interested in that problem. They want the geese. You could have a cougar in your front yard if you live at Pleasant Hill, and you don't necessarily want it there. You could have 50 or 60 head of elk, if you live up by Dexter, go through your yard and through your fences. Those are problems that are rural. And the people in the rural area look at those different than if you live on 15th and Agate. You know, it's a different world outside of the city. And representatives, well, the representation of the district should fit the view of those people too. And I find that where we've allowed ourselves to put a big chunk of the city of Eugene into a district that has a large rural area, when we could have put Harrisburg in it, we could have Lowell in it, we could have Cottage Grove in it, all more similar with their attitudes towards how we live in the country. And so that's kind of my basis for my reasoning to be here. I hope you would listen to it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, and we'll go to the next witness, and then we'll take questions for both of them. Go ahead and introduce yourself, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Dennis Morgan. I'm president of Forest Products Research Laboratory, LLC, and I've lived here in Oregon for 57-plus years and here in Lane County for 21 and a half years. Now, I want to thank you first for your work on behalf of the citizens of the state of Oregon. I know the legislature has not been real successful over the past decades at this endeavor you're currently in charge with, redistricting 60 House districts and 30 Senate districts. I'd urge you to heed the call for bipartisanship to work together to create a plan that both sides of the aisle can agree to and the governor can sign. I wish the committee luck in this grand venture you're in right now. Contrary to history. I'd also appreciate saying hello to my state senator, Senator Beyer, and my two representatives, Representative Beyer and Representative Barnhart. And I say that because I live up in the Mohawk Valley, which is north of Springfield, and so I actually have a better chance of seeing Representative Beyer in my local Safeway store, Albertsons, than seeing Representative Barnhart because I don't shop down here yet, close to this area. I do appreciate that you gave us the opportunity to comment on this written testimony. I think you may already have it, but I appreciate the opportunity you've given us to comment on redistricting. The criteria set forth in statute, you well know. Each district needs, the chairman of the House committee already outlined it. I don't need to repeat it. Most of the statute's fairly easy to understand. We uses everyday terms. Contiguous, equal population. Existing geographical boundaries generally means rivers, lakes, mountains, maybe even freeways. Political boundaries to be considered should be limited to political entities that elect officials that make ordinances and laws such as cities and counties. Being connected by a transportation link should be thought of as a bridge crossing a river or a road through the pass. Here in Lane County was extended in the 1800s because there was no road between the northern part of the Mohawk Valley and Lynn County, which was where it was originally participated with. But there was a railroad down to Springfield and Eugene, so it got transferred to Lane County. That's part of the reason why transportation links are in the statute. You should also not use transportation routes to create a gerrymandered district like North Carolina's House District 12 in the 1990s, which led to consternation for over a decade of litigation. The term communities of common interest is not a common everyday term that everyone uses and agrees to what it means. Depending upon the context, the term can mean a group of people with common economic interests, social interests, political interests, cultural interests, a common language, or an ethnic background. Statute clearly bars the use of political interests, and relevant court cases makes the creation of a House or Senate district based upon cultural or ethnic or language interests problematical and most likely subject to a court challenge. Economic or social interests are ideas that are easily understood and are defensible when considering communities of common interest. I would propose to you that the first concept of community of common interest is a city. A city provides infrastructure for many of the common economic and social requirements of the day, for day-to-day living. Cities provide public safety officers, police, fire. Cities provide streets, municipal waste disposals. Cities provide for building safety, utility right-of-ways, if not the utilities altogether. The idea that a city with existing political boundaries should be considered the first application of communities of common interest is easily justifiable. There's no reason that the largest city and the largest community of common interest here in Lane County should be broken into four different house districts. Eugene has a population of 536,000, an amount too large for two house districts, but too small for three districts. Somebody's shaking their head. Excuse me. In order to keep the communities of common interest together, the community should split Eugene into a southern district and a northern district and a western district. South Eugene district contains the University of Oregon and surrounding areas. It would be nice to have this community of common interest, the whole university, as in one district instead of split as we heard earlier today. This would keep the university whole along with businesses and the community to support it. The district also contains Sacred Heart Medical Center in the area. Currently, this district is split into three. The South Eugene area has three house districts in it.
Mr. Morgan, I just want to let you know that we do have your written testimony.
Okay.
And it's obviously very thorough, and it's not necessary for you to read it. We will have it in the record, so if you'd like to kind of hit the high points,
sure.
That might facilitate more dialogue.
I appreciate that. I did not quite understand the format. The basic idea is here in Eugene, you have the cities, the major cities in the state are communities of common interest. And I would recommend when you do the redistricting, you start with that first and go through and create the House districts and subsequent Senate districts after that. Then you're stuck with creating the communities of common interest outside the areas. And I think that at that point, the idea of schools and regional meetings, agricultural interests, common economic interest is what should prevail in terms of determining communities of common interest. Thank you.
Thank you. And before we take questions, let me acknowledge the arrival of Senator Edwards and Representative Nathanson, and I'd ask you both to just quickly introduce yourselves to our guests.
Sure. I'm Chris Edwards. I'm the state senator in North Eugene, West Eugene, and Junction City.
I'm Nancy Nathanson, state representative from District 13, which is primarily
North Eugene,
down through Whitaker and part of Jefferson West Side and downtown area, primarily neighborhoods in the North
Eugene. Okay, now do we have questions or comments for our first panel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Morgan, thank you. Obviously spent a lot of time thinking about this. I just noted that your written testimony does have a map that includes the locations of where the current representatives and senators live. And there is a requirement in Oregon statute that we not draw a district for the purpose of favoring an incumbent or any other person. So I just want to say on behalf of the committee that we've been trying to make our decisions without regard to where our current representatives live.
I appreciate that. And the primary reason for incorporating that map was Lane County has eight, five are in Lane County, three are outside of Lane County, and just to show that where those folks live. But the bigger issue was the second map that shows that the five House members that currently reside in Lane County, they all live in Springfield or Eugene. Lane County is 130 miles wide, yet the distance from the furthest east-west distance is slightly over 15 miles from the current representatives. Functionally, folks up in Oak Ridge or Blue River, McKenzie Bridge, are actually represented in McKenzie Bridge by somebody who lives in Roseburg, which is quite a distance. And that's, for me, a real stretch of a community of interest.
Chair, if I just wanted to comment that one of our first trips we made was out to Baker City and LeGrand, and I have a newfound appreciation for how far our colleagues need to drive to see their constituents or for their constituents to see them. So keeping it in perspective. But thank you for your testimony.
Further questions or comments? Representative Holby.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming forward and bringing your testimony and pinpointing to the world where I live. Appreciate that. More seriously, though, you both have mentioned some interests of agriculture and timber, of course. And, I look at these smaller communities around because I represent Veneta as well, which is a smaller community, and I recognize that a tremendous population of constituents in the Veneta area and that surrounding area actually work in Eugene. And I'm just kind of curious about the agriculture connection to Eugene. Perhaps the attitudes may be different, but I know we have a farmer's market where we have a lot of organic farmers from the whole surrounding area come to the center of Eugene to sell their produce and of course, to the restaurants in the area as well. But also the timber industry, I believe, still has a huge connection to Eugene, in fact, because of the processing and the lumber mills and still quite a lot of timber economy actually in Eugene, and just kind of wondering how you split that out from, saying that we don't have an interest in Eugene when, in fact, your economy is very much tied to Eugene. So I was kind of curious if you could comment on that.
You want me to start, Kelly?
Well, you can go ahead, and I'll finish.
Okay. I guess the first thing that I respond to that, again, somewhat to your, we vote, the representation is where you live, not where you work. And although there are a great deal of many people work in a city, they don't live in the city, they don't vote in the city, and so the representation is where you vote. And as I said earlier, although I'm in Representative Barnhart's district, I have a better chance of seeing Representative Beyer or Senator Beyer at my local store shopping in terms of the casual acquaintance. And for me, part of the issue in representation is the ability to approach our representatives, at least in this state, in a casual manner and, not necessarily always in a formal condition. So, to me, the issue of where you work is not as critical, and I don't see it anywhere in the statute where we view that situation. Granted, timber industries, from where I come from, major centers are of employment are on major transportation hubs. That's the reality of life. I'm not sure that has any impact upon where representation comes from because, again, representation is based upon where you live and not where you work. I do think that every one of you and every one of your compatriots in the legislature tries hard to represent the interests of their districts as varied as they are. And I don't think that anywhere in my testimony was I trying to disparage the idea that anybody does not try to represent their districts. But part of it comes down to just what do you know by living in the area versus what do you know when somebody comes before you and testifies before you. I did that somebody answer your question?
I appreciate the comment.
I would concur with what Denny said there. When you talk about the farmer's market and some of those things, on the grand scale of things, in agriculture, at least in Linn and Lane County, they're not a big part of the real agriculture. They're a part of it, but the organic markets and the farmer's market, in reality, are not the big chunks of change that turn, to change hands in the agricultural community in this area, to my knowledge. And so that's my question is, they're important, but what do they really have in common with the rest of the districts?
And for the record, that was Mr. Lovelace, and before that speaking was Mr. Morgan. I forgot to say, but as we have Q&A, it's important for witnesses to just restate your name so the record is clear about who's speaking. Senator Telfer had a question, and then Senator Przanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As we've traveled around the state hearing input, we've heard a lot about keeping cities whole. And I know in my district I have a huge issue with trying to keep a city whole. Eugene itself is too large for one Senate district. So about 20,000, 19,000. Where would you see dividing Eugene so that it had representation as well as the agricultural community? Meaning, Eugene's too big, it's got to be split. Where would you be splitting it?
Well, if I were drawing the
Start
line...
with your name, please.
Excuse me, I apologize. Dennis Morgan, again. I would look similar to what Lane County has done historically in terms of creating the city structures with the North Eugene, South Eugene county commission seats as the first seat, then looking at the dividing line. and running those seats up against Springfield, because Springfield almost makes its own representative as part of it. And then looking on the west side, you know, Chambers, Garfield, or somewhere out there, and running west to incorporate areas out there to make up the next house district. And then I sort of look at things at building house districts and taking two adjacent house districts and making a Senate district. So I work, in my view, I would look at the house districts that way.
Thank you.
Kelly Lovelace, one of my thoughts would be the University of Oregon is a great institution, but here we have an institution that has virtually nothing in common with greater Linn County or Lane County outside of it, and yet it's incorporated. It probably should be one district, one, or made into where it's more of a one representative district rather than being split up all over, because its interests are common and not necessarily common with those areas outside of it.
So am I hearing you say compactness of the area? Keeping the university whole?
Yeah, that would be a pretty good point, and I don't know where it would sit in total, but Eugene and the University of Oregon have far more in common than they have in common with Brownsville or Cresswell or some, you know, outlying area. And it would make sense to me that that area be represented as a one chunk with what's involved in the city of Eugene.
Senator Przanski.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I have a number of questions, and that's all right.
Sure.
Mr. Morgan, in your testimony, you've stated where your, you said your employment is with Forest Products Research Laboratory, LLC. Where's that located?
It's on 46th and Main in Springfield.
Okay. And you said you've lived here in the county for about how long?
21 and a half years.
All right. So looking at your testimony and looking at the maps that you've prepared for us, and you talked about where, I'm not sure if it was yourself or Mr. Lovelace, were talking about having someone that goes up into, let's call it upriver, East Lane County, that is actually residences in North Douglas County. And Mr. Lovelace, I guess this goes for both of you. I'd like to know, how would you look at trying to divide the districts, knowing that we have to have 63,000 people per House district, knowing that in the case of my Senate district, it's the largest Senate district west of the Cascades. It does take in House District 7, which is Bruce Hanna's, and also Representative Paul Hovey's. So if you wanted to somehow isolate the communities that are surrounding but not part of Eugene or Springfield, how would you tell us to draw those lines? North-south? Take in two or three more counties, east-west?
Well, I guess, I mean, they already, some of these districts are pretty large. I guess large is how big. I mean, if you lived in Harney County, what happens in Lane County and Linn County doesn't amount to much for distance. And I've lived over in that country for a short time. I think, you know, common interests of people that are what's important here, and I think you have to take a look at that quite seriously. A small town and rural communities don't necessarily have the same look at life that somebody here in town does, and I think that's probably true in all the major metropolitan areas in the state. And I think today rural people are getting cheated on their voice simply because they are being mixed with other people.
So, that was Mr. Lovelace speaking again.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Restate your name. Sorry, yeah. I'm going to be a pain about that.
Mr. Lovelace, let me just kind of get a little more focus on this. Knowing Pleasant Hill is approximately 8 miles thereabout, give or take, from Eugene, thereabouts. Knowing from what you're saying, there's no, in your opinion, common interest with Eugene. that would mean that if you wanted to have a district that was going to include or let's say reach the threshold of 64,000 people, 63,800 that we have to hit, do you find that you'd have more common interest with, let's say, a community of interest that would include Deschutes County going over the Cascades?
Well,
Mr. Lovelace.
Kelly Lovelace talking again. You guys need a list up here. I think you have to look at rural attitudes at some level over urban, and there's a difference. And in my earlier testimony, I talked about just the mere fact that I have friends up there along the river that have 50 or 60 head of elk that are on their place continually. That are state, that's state animals, that's, you know, the state has control of that. If you live out there and you have 50 head of elk walking through your farm or your yard every other day, it's a big deal. If you live in town, it's a wonderful thing to have them there. And, I mean, the views change drastically from where you're sitting in that conversation. It's the same, you know, the wildlife management is one issue of this. But believe me, if you live there, it's a big deal. If you've had a cougar in your front yard, you have grandchildren that live half a mile from you or less, it is a concern to you. You think about it. If you live on 42nd Street or 40th here in Eugene, it's less of a concern. It's not a big deal to you. You will almost enjoy having the thought. So, I mean, those are big issues to some of these people in the country. And I don't think they get the fair shot when you have these kind of issues out there. You have the highway transportation system. There's a lot of things. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So, Mr. Lovelace, as a farmer, what type of ag product are you producing?
We raise grass seed, sweet corn, and wheat.
And where do you sell your product?
Our product goes worldwide.
And so who do you use as your jobber? Where are they located? Are they in Eugene, Springfield, Salem?
For?
Deschutes? For your product that you sell or that you raise on your property.
Where does the product go to?
Uh-huh.
A great portion of it goes to Korea.
All right, but how do you get it there?
It goes to in a rail car and goes to Portland. All goes right. On a ship.
And so your common interest for getting your product out is handled through someone in Portland?
It's handled through, generally our grain goes to Harrisburg in trucks and goes from there on the rail car to Portland. Our grass seed is cleaned in our own seed warehouse, is loaded on trucks at our warehouse, and shipped around the world, around the nation.
And do you use Highway 58 to move your product from your farms?
Yes.
And do you use I-5 to also get it off of 58?
Yes.
And your banking, where does your banking take place?
In Salem.
So you have a pretty interesting community of interest. So you have your financials in Salem, your market out of Portland, and you don't think there's any ties between rural and urban areas?
There is certainly ties between rural and urban areas. But on what level are you talking about? If you live in a rural area and you sleep there, your family is outside there, that your interest for that is different than if you live in Eugene. If you live in Eugene, having 2,000 Canadian geese land on a field out off Highway 58 is nice to see. If you own the field, it is not quite the same.
One other question, if I could, Mr. Co-Chair.
Final follow-up.
Mr. Lovelace, you made some comment about organics not really being much of the market. It's my understanding organics is like the fastest growing commodity in ag right now.
Well, you know, can I comment on that?
I'm just
certainly, it could be fast growing. If you have a market that is relatively small and it has growth, then the potential for that to grow and double is fairly easy. If you have agriculture on a large scale nationally where you're producing tens of millions of tons of something, to double that or make that grow exponentially is much harder to do. I mean, you can say organics is a great business and it's really growing. Well, if it's growing from 1 million to 2 million, that's double. If it's growing from 3 billion to 4 billion or something, as agriculture is, large, then, I mean, I'm not sure you're talking about apples and apples. You might be talking about apples and oranges when you talk about that.
I'd ask you to maybe you might want to look at some of the holdings, such as General Mills, and how they branched into the organics, because they see that as a viable market, which also takes in sustainability of smaller communities being close.
And I would agree, there's some viability there, but on a scale that feeds the nation and the world, I'm not sure that's quite so true.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
You're welcome. And just
Mr.
in case there was any doubt, that was Mr. Lovelace speaking.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes.
It's Dennis Morgan. Senator Przanski asked his original question to both of us. May I have a chance to respond?
Absolutely.
Senator Przanski, I appreciate the question in terms of how to divide things up afterwards. And I guess my answer would be, when you get to the rural areas and you have the populations, you have to make compromises. There's no question about it. And my view would be probably Interstate 5. It would be a dividing line, you know, make the division between East Lane County and West Lane County, somewhat like the county commissions do already. So you have a duplication. And in going over, if lines stretch over into Linn County and Douglas County, or Lincoln County, in terms of combining a rural communities of interest, I think that's what you have to look at. The idea of stretching across Cascades and in a different watershed, you know, tremendously different watershed and climate is a little bit outside, would be outside my comfort zone in terms of doing something. But you do have a tough job in terms of trying to fit all these census tracts into 60 districts. And so I totally understand that there's compromise involved. And I guess I view my job here today as not being an elected representative, but say, you know, if I were doing it, my recommendation to you is look at it this way. And that's what I would say is in Lane County, you know, in Lane County, you know, the Benton County has used that I-5 Willamette River corridor as a primary dividing line for those extra districts.
Mr. Morgan, if I could just follow up one other thing. I appreciate your acknowledgement of the complexity we have. The district I currently represent have three watersheds in it, the McKenzie, the Willamette, and the North Umpqua. We've heard when we were in Deschutes County and been for hearings a couple, 3 weeks back, that most of the testimony came in and said they said an absolute division line was the top of the Cascades. They did not see how they would fit in coming over to the west side into Lane County. And it sounds like your testimony is similar to that, that if you have to make adjustments and accommodate based on the population, we shouldn't be going over the mountain ridge, but we should be running north and south within the valley.
That would be my recommendation as a primary way of looking at it.
Right.
Again, you may come down to the odd left out group of census tracts that, you know, come across that, you know, they're stuck the way they are, but I would not make that as I would make that as the lowest priority or the highest hurdle to get across or the highest mountain pass to jump over.
Mr. Morgan, thank you very much.
Okay. Yes. There's a camera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to clarify, I heard the term isolate come out in the question, that you were trying to isolate people or communities of interest. I didn't hear that in your testimony, and can you make sure that wasn't used, and verify what you're talking about of separating communities of interest from rural versus urban?
Dennis Morgan, Representative Cameron, I don't think I used the term isolate.
No, somebody on the panel did.
Oh, excuse me. I don't think the idea of isolation is the proper way to go. I mean, we are in a state. We're all together. We do have a overall economic interest. I think that the idea of to separate something out and set it aside is sort of an antithema to the representative government. So I think you need to identify communities of interest, and your job as elected legislatures is to set the priorities of those communities of interest and put the highest priorities together. to create these districts. Again, I would say start with your cities because they're the most common communities of interest that are easily identifiable. Take those off the table first and then work through your suburban areas and rural areas and put those communities of interest together and not end up isolating anybody.
Thank you.
Mr. Co-Chair, just a clarification from Representative Cameron. My statement that I was the one that said to isolate was to Mr. Lovelace. When he first testified, he said that President Hill had no commonality to the city of Eugene. And it's, I took the testimony as to being rural, that he wanted to have more of an isolation from the connection to Eugene because he saw no similarities to his area of Pleasant Hill being rural as compared to Eugene.
Kelly Lovelace, can I comment on that?
Sure, and then we're going to wrap this up and go to the next
panel.
Please do.
We all have common things and common goals in life. I think it's important that we look at where we live in units of and try to stay with that as much as you can. I realize you can't do that entirely. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you both. Very informative. We're going to move to the next pair. And that is Carlene Riley and Jerry Vandermeer. Sorry, maybe that was Gary.
That is Gary.
Okay. Whoever would like to go first, please just introduce yourself for the record and then give us your testimony.
Ladies first.
Thank you very much. I'm Carlene Marley. I live at 395 Marion Lane, Eugene, Oregon. And I appreciate the accessibility to our legislators. I was writing to a friend last night in New York City saying, we are so lucky in Oregon. They would have much more difficult time having direct contact with their legislators. So thank you for coming. Forgive me for reading this. This is my ordinary daily fare. 10 years ago, when redistricting occurred, I was new to this process. I listened carefully to the concepts that many districts would have a slice of urban area and a slice of rural area. The opposition between rural and urban Oregon was alive and well. I thought it was a nice idea to try to bridge the divide, but I was skeptical that it would work. Little did I know that I would be testifying at this point in time, attesting that it appears the concept worked. I have lived in the River Road area of Eugene for more than 32 years. I have been active in our neighborhood group for about 10 years, been a member of the River Road Community Organization Board for 4 years, and I'm starting on my third year as co-chair. In addition, ARCO has been working with Santa Clara Community Organization for the past year on mutual concerns of governance, land use, transportation, and parks and recreation services. My husband and I participated actively in the Envision Eugene Community Resource Group as they considered the land needs of the Eugene metro area. These activities have given me a familiarity with the larger metro geography and the interactions of smaller neighborhoods with the rural and urban connections. I have a personal friendship with my farmer friends, Kate and Kevin, who bring luscious organic greens and eggs in weekly for me and my neighbors. And Penny, an acquaintance for many years, runs the organic produce stand on River Road at the Chamber Connector. We frequent Thistledown and Lone Pine Farms north of Santa Clara for summer produce. The organically grown company brings in produce for the larger region and distributes it to stores and restaurants, large and small. Organically grown donated corn and watermelon to a neighborhood gathering for National Night Out in August. They are good neighbors. As one person said in last week, Santa Clara and beyond is the breadbasket for the metro region. A premise of Envision Eugene was that we are in this all together. Our farmers recognize their need for urban customers, and we as residents recognize our dependency on the quality agricultural lands and the farmers who want to cultivate the land. We are interconnected with one another as an inseparable community of interest. The new River Road Santa Clara Tribune includes a lot of articles from Junction City, which attest to the interconnectedness of the larger region. I urge that redistricting take into consideration the fact that a third of the Junction City population works in Eugene. The current maps of House District 13 and 14 encompassed within Senate District 7 has accomplished a healthy interaction between rural residents and urban dwellers. I support the continuation of this concept for redistricting. When lines are drawn on a map, redistricting must respect the sense of connections people have to one another. The human connections make a community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And if you wouldn't mind, would you provide that your written testimony to our staff? Oh, we already have it. Okay, thank you. And for anybody else who's coming up who has written testimony, if you'd provide that to our staff, Aaron Seiler in the green sweater here, it'd be very helpful. So, Mr. Vandermeer, we'll hear from you and then take questions.
Gosh, I hope I can do as good a job of reading. Good morning, committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. For the record, my name is Gary Vandermeer. I live on J Street in Springfield and have been an Oregonian since 1973. Members, since time is limited, let me get straight to the situation of concern. As I understand it, in ORS 188.010 and in the Voting Rights Act of 1965, there are provisions that make the establishing of political boundaries that subdivide an ethnic minority group, which dilutes their community voice and voting strength, is an illegal act. The committee has asked that we address questions, and one of those is, where are the ethnic and racial groups in this area? And I would like to speak to that question. At this point, Lane County is currently facing a situation where it appears we are in violation of statutes that govern the redistricting area. This has been something that anyone who's seen the news reports of the latest census data is well aware that there has been an increase by 63.5% in Oregon's Hispanic community. There has been corresponding increases here in Lane County as well. And there have also been notable increases in Eugene's other minority communities also. The vast majority of this minority population growth has been concentrated on the western side of Eugene's city core, making that the largest ethnic minority community of common interest in Lane County. As a result of that, the minority community's growth and prominence in the city core, it appears that the current legislative district boundaries will now violate those provisions of 188.010 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. The majority of the Hispanic population in Lane County is currently subdivided among five different representative districts. It is time that we formally recognize and give voice to that Hispanic community by rejoining those communities into just two districts, one in Eugene and one in Springfield. As noted in the Oregon Historical Society's article from their Oregon History Project, in the 2001 redistricting, former Secretary of State Bill Bradbury recognized the population growth in the Hispanic community and specifically created a legislative district for that Hispanic community in the Woodburn area. With that precedent of recognizing Hispanic communities of common interest that has already been established, it is only logical that Eugene's significant Hispanic and ethnic minority be recognized. Following that information, in the data that I provided are a couple of more confirming reports and graphs from local and statewide media confirming the growth in the minority community. Of particular note are Lane County's population projections for 2020 that indicate that in Eugene's core, by 2020, the Hispanic community will make up 25 to 45% of that community, a significant number that cannot be overlooked. I'm getting a blinking light. Am I okay?
You've got another minute.
Okay. Well, let me go fast then. There are population demographics that have also been calculated from local school district enrollments that indicate that in the city's core area, currently 30% of the population is Hispanic. Following that is some additional documentation from an internet blog observations from a local data analysis company. They also have identified the growth of Eugene's Hispanic community and have postulated that in order for the city of Eugene to be in compliance also in their redistricting with current state and federal statute, that they will need to shift the city's Ward 7 boundaries to the west and the north, which is in the area that we're looking at. Supplemental affirmation of the dramatic growth in the Hispanic and ethnic minority community in Eugene's core also comes from the provided 2010 census tract information. The provided LCOG tract map is the latest that was available, which was the 2009 information. Unfortunately, some of the 2010 tracts aren't shown on that map, but I've been assured that they are included with the appropriately designated sequence number. They've just been subdivided for purposes of making it easier to track the information. Based on the minority's current population location, it would seem natural that the boundaries of a district that would recognize that community would be along the major connecting transportation links, which would include State Highway 569, commonly referred to as Beltline Highway on the north and the west sides. And on the east side of the district, it would be bordered by Interstate 5, and on the south by 11th Avenue. If it is necessary to focus the majority of community common interest, it would be easy to do so within that area by using existing transportation links on the eastern side of where the new boundaries would be. Those transportation links would be Coburg Road and Delta Highway. As the committee has far better population mapping software, I leave it to the committee's discretion to adjust the actual boundaries or district's boundaries. However, it should be noted that the failure to recognize and rejoin this splintered minority will leave not only the state, but also Lane County and the city of Eugene exposed to potential future legal action. At this point, I see my time has expired. I want to thank the committee, and I would be glad to provide a copy of the testimony to the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have questions for this panel? Senator Telfer.
Thank you. Just a brief question, Mr. Vandermeer. Give me a synopsis. What are the numbers in the Latino community that you're referring to in Eugene? Do you have an approximation?
That information is available in the census tract data that has been provided. I can tell you currently in the 2000 redistricting that was done, roughly 5% of the Lane County's ethnic population, 5% of the population in Lane County was of ethnic origin. Currently, among just the Hispanic community, 1.2 persons out of every 10 is a minority. And based on the projections of Lane County, this looks like this is going to double again by the time we get to 2020. And again, that's why I'm looking at this growth as something that should be recognized at this point.
Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Vandermeer. I just wanted to point out, well, I'm from Washington, Multnomah County, and there's certainly a lot of diversity there as well. But there are some areas in some states that have been identified as minority districts that actually have to get preclearance through the United States Department of Justice. I believe that we do not have any of those in Oregon. And I'll look at my co-chair as counsel who's nodding.
That's correct.
There are some in some states that have to actually get preclearance. We're not at that level. So,
if I could respond, Vandermeer, to the Senator. Are you referencing the Bradbury affirmation of the historic precedent of recognizing?
No, I'm not.
Senator Beyer.
Mr. Vandermeer, when we started this process, one of the things that the co-chairs did was brought in a number of legal scholars from across the country specifically dealing with these issues. And one of the points they made in reference to what you're talking about is what the law, as I recall it, says is that if you're splitting up a district where a majority of the citizens were of minority, you legally can't do that. But they're less than majority, that really doesn't apply.
Vandermeer, if I could share a thought with the Senator. We have both the letter of the law and we have the spirit of the law. The spirit of this statute indicates that it is the best interest of the state, county, city to give an opportunity for minority communities to have a voice. And that's what I would hope this committee would look at, would be the opportunity to follow in the spirit of the statute and rejoin what is currently a splintered ethnic community.
Thank you. Further questions? All right, seeing none, thank you both. Our next panel will be Becky Lemler and Jacob Daniels, please. We have Mr. Daniels. Oh, Jacob Daniels. Yeah.
As the panel's coming up, Mr. Co-Chair, I want to point out that it's my understanding that that district in Woodburn is currently a majority-minority district.
I believe it's about 70% Latino. Okay, in any order you wish, please just state your name for the record and give us your testimony.
Okay. Hi, my name is Becky Lemler, and I would like to thank you also for coming out here on a Saturday to let us come speak with you and give you our thoughts on the redistricting. As I said, my name is Becky Lemler. My husband, Wayne, and I live in Elmira, which is 14 miles west of Eugene as the crow flies. I work in Eugene, and my husband works in Springfield. We do all our shopping for food and clothing, building materials for our home improvements, and other essentials in the Eugene-Springfield area. The majority of our friends live in the Eugene-Springfield area. We moved to Elmira because, like our neighbors, we share the love of country living. Yet we are close enough to the city to be able to participate in community events and share a sense of semblance to the locality. When I look at the current map of our house district, number 10, I see it spans from Elmira to the coast in Florence and all the way up to Tillamook County. These are not communities of common interest. They're not even geographically similar. My representative lives in Newport. That's a two-hour drive from my house. I have never seen her here in our area holding a town hall to meet her constituents or to find out about our concerns. The church I attend in Elmira is less than 5 minutes from our home, yet it is in another district. My community library, less than 10 minutes away, is in a different district from our house. But Rose Lodge in North Lincoln County, over by the coast, a 2.5-hour drive, is, guess what, part of my district. We have representational government for a reason, to have representatives from each of our communities to represent the needs and interests of our communities. How can one representative possibly represent the diverse needs and interests of such different communities as the maps are currently drawn? This session, politically, we have an even split in the House and nearly even in the Senate. What better time to come up with a truly bipartisan map that genuinely represents real communities of interest that can serve us well for the next 10 years? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Daniels, and then we'll take questions.
Okay, Mr. Co-Chair, Madam Chair, Senators and Representatives, thank you for having me here today. My name is Jacob Daniels. I'm a very proud graduate of the University of Oregon, and with the exception of 3 years I spent at Tulane Law School, I've lived here in Lane County my entire life. I'm here today because I believe that Oregon needs a redistricting plan which truly represents Oregon and all of its different and diverse communities. I think it's very important that those commissioned with the task of redistricting our legislative districts pay special attentiveness to the many unique communities of common interest that exist throughout the state of Oregon. An example of a community of common interest right here in Oregon, or I guess different communities, would be Eugene and Springfield. These are separated by the I-5 corridor. Eugene and Springfield both have separate police forces, separate city councils, separate electric providers, which have separately elected board members to those electric providers, separate school boards, separate libraries, and so forth. And I just think it makes perfect sense that the I-5 corridor be the dividing factor to prevent any overlap. I look up at these maps that were drawn 10 years ago by Secretary of State Bill Bradbury and his staff, and I noticed that, you know, it could lend a question as to whether or not there's political motivations when you see some of these strange nuances in these districts. But using something like I-5 corridor as a boundary, something that we can all agree upon, it makes sense. It's a road that divides these two communities. I think it's going to help assure the voters, the residents, that the boundaries weren't gerrymandered for political purposes, which, as we know, is expressly forbidden by Oregon Revised Statute 188.010. And I'm going to have to go upstairs to double-check that statute. But furthermore, it's clear that Oregonians want bipartisanship, as indicated by the 30-30 split we have in our House right now, which is very historic, which makes it very confusing with all these co-chairs in the House, but then also a narrowly divided Oregon State Senate. And we want bipartisanship. As such, I think this legislature owes Oregonians not only a bipartisan legislative map, but they owe Oregonians something more, a nonpartisan map. A nonpartisan map wouldn't give the city of Portland 3 congressional districts. Right now, Portland's population is roughly 583,776. And that's well beneath the ideal congressional population of 766,215. Yet Portland currently controls 3 of our 5 congressional districts. So the current map, the Bradbury map, in my opinion, is partisan. And we don't want that again. It's clear that we don't want to have a highly partisan map. Last year's gubernatorial election, for example, was roughly 49% to 51%, give or take either direction. Yet only one of the 5 Oregon congressmen is represented, or congressional districts, excuse me, is represented by a Republican. In other words, in a state where the lower chamber of our legislature is 30-30, or in other words, 50-50, Oregon's congressional delegation is 4-1, or 80-20. In such a bipartisan state, it truly contradicts logic that our congressional delegation is dominated by one side of the political spectrum. But under a nonpartisan map, our congressional delegation would truly represent the entire state of Oregon. It's clear that Oregonians want a better outcome than we got from the Bill Bradbury map. We want a map drawn by the legislature. Let's hope that happens, and not the Secretary of State. In tough times like these, compromise is necessary, especially with the evenly divided nature of the legislature. And I know that redistricting isn't an easy task. I don't envy the effort of trying to draw 60, 30, and 5 districts. It's going to be very difficult. But thank you for undertaking this task. Someone has to do it. And, you know, I really appreciate all of you bringing your job from the Capitol here to the residents throughout the state. I think that's very important to do that outreach and to take this job seriously, and you certainly are. And so in closing, I just ask that you please continue this excellent work and draw a nonpartisan map which truly represents the great people of this great state of Oregon. I thank you for your time, and I'd be more than happy to field any questions.
Okay, thank you both. We have questions for the panel. Representative Campbell.
Yeah, Jacob, thank you. Where did you say you lived?
I live in Crestwell, Oregon.
Okay.
Within the city limits of Crestwell.
Just a real quick question for you. Would you consider the University of Oregon a community of interest in itself?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know because I'm a Beaver. So
I know you're a Beaver. Don't hold that against me, Representative.
And I noticed that the Oregon State University is a community of interest all by itself, and I'm curious if the University of Oregon, in your opinion, would be.
Well, as a former student, and I was a student senator, I was very involved with all the ins and outs of the university government. Yes, Representative Cameron, I do believe that this is University of Oregon is a community of common interest because right now, I mean, Californians call University of Oregon UC Oregon because so many Californians are coming up to attend the university, and one of the first things that happens each school year is that the ASUO comes out and does a voter registration drive, and they do a really good job. They register 5,000 to 10,000 people depending on which election cycle. Whether it's a presidential year or it's just a midterm year, but they register a lot of voters. And so those people have entirely different outlooks because they come from different states. It's also a very academically oriented community, I'm proud to say. And so I would say that there are a lot of distinctions between some of the more rural areas and the University of Oregon. And I noticed that, you know, my district, District 11, Representative Barnhart's district, goes right around this law school. So we're in 11, but then we're in Mr. Holvey's district, I believe, just across the street at Hayward Field. So I think that was recognized in the last districting plan, and I hope that it continues to – I hope that this year we make that a community of common interest.
For the record, that was Mr. Daniels. And do we have any further questions? Representative Reed, then Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for your testimony, Mr. Daniels. Just one point I wanted to clarify that something I'm sure you already know. In your comments about the congressional districts, the legislature has that charge. And, of course, if it doesn't, that goes to the courts, not the Secretary of State.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
Representative Holvey, and then Senator Bonamici.
Well, just a comment, then a question. I would think if you would attend a football game at Autzen Stadium, you'd see that University of Oregon is a community of interest for a whole lot of people, I would say, throughout this entire region. There's a lot of people in my district, of course, that attend university, and I have a large portion of it, but I know Representative Nathanson in North Eugene, those people are very avid University of Oregon supporters, too. But beyond that, I had a question about Elmira, and your comments were, I think, very important, as I recognize, because my district goes right up to Elmira, and the one school there on the Fern Ridge side of Territorial is in my district, and on the other side, the schools are in Gene Cowan's district, District 10, and So you were making a statement that from the Elmira point of view, you're more connected to Eugene than you are to Newport and Lincoln City.
Definitely.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly. So that area of Elmira does identify itself with Friends and everybody to Eugene.
Yes, and like half the people in the church are, you know, because the church is on one side of the territorial. Half the people live on one half, the other half, you know, we're divided by that. And I would love to be able to come to you here in Eugene and talk with you about stuff instead of having to drive 2.5 hours to go onto the coast to speak with Gene.
Yes, and I know Senator Prezansky and I do a lot of town halls out in Veneta, and so it's pretty close. You're
nice.
More than welcome, even though you're in the next district anyway. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we have, that was Ms. Lemoir for the record. Representative Beyer also wanted her support for UO, noted for the record. I saw her.
Community
so we have Senator Bonamici, Senator Prezansky, and then Representative Barnard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. And Representative Holvey just asked one of my questions, so I only have one for Mr. Daniels. Congratulations on law school.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Chair. So, let's hope that the bar turns out as good as law school.
Good luck with that. So having attended law school, I'm sure you choose your words very carefully. So I wanted to ask you, you said the city of Portland controls 3 congressional districts.
Uh-huh.
So I wonder if you would identify those 3 districts, because I'm not convinced that the 3 congressmen I think you're talking about would agree with that.
Okay, well, I guess, let's see, this is a kind of a history lesson here, or I guess a current affairs lesson. Representative Wu's district, I believe that's number 1, and that goes up to Astoria. I believe it takes up a lot of area right there. But I guess the way I phrase the 3 districts being controlled by Portland aren't the fact that they're not in the city of Portland entirely, yet the population indicates that the voters of Portland get to choose the outcome for those particular elections. I think it's pretty evident just in your voter turnouts that Portland plays a very strong role in all 3 of those districts. I believe Multnomah County has a district to itself, if I'm not mistaken, or at least a big stake in it.
My house district 38, a portion of Multnomah County, I believe is the same or very close to the same as the portion that is in Congressional District 5, and that is, I think, 3 or 4 precincts in Multnomah County, probably about 25,000 people, for the record. Senator Prezansky and then Representative Barnard.
Thank you. And Ms. Landmark, thank you for your testimony. As Representative Povey said, we've looked at that issue and we really kind of scratched our head too, knowing that, and this is more for the committee, you have territorial, which is the dividing line. Everything that's on the east side of that are in House District 8 and Senate District 4. Everything on the west side of that is in Joanne Berger's district, which I think is Senate District 5. And then Gene Cowan is House District 10. We also have other areas such as Notai. Notai split the same way. We're looking at that. And as we made our opening comments here, somewhat in jest, but at the same time, it's kind of wonder why you would have 2 buildings that were basically not in the rest of the R districts that were, in fact, in the other 2. When you think population-wise, there's no one living here in this building or in the Conde School. But hopefully those are the type of things we will see adjustments.
I hope so.
I thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Daniels, you indicate
yes,
you live in Creswell.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? You're aware, I'm sure, that Creswell straddles Interstate 5 and that there's a significant portion of the city on both sides.
Yes.
And I assume you're also aware that the vast majority of people who have jobs and live in Creswell come into Eugene or Springfield to work, and it's a 12 or 13 minute drive into the city.
Well, Representative Barnhart, that's entirely a correct statement, and I guess Creswell at this point is kind of what you'd call a bedroom community. We don't like that term, but it's one of those communities where people do work in Eugene and Springfield and come sleep, spend their evenings in Creswell.
But we're working very, very hard to make sure that Cresswell becomes more self-sufficient and more people dine there and more people create more jobs, basically, in the area. But as far as the I-5 divide, I believe the incorporated city limits of Cresswell, there might be 200, 300 yards that go past east of I-5, maybe 200, 300 yards on Cloverdale Road. But it's a very small percentage, and I don't even think that people live in that particular area. I do know the airport, which is across the freeway on the east side, is not incorporated in the city of Cresswell, even though the city of Cresswell controls that airport.
Don't worry, that's not about you.
Okay. Thought I might be done. But thank you for the question, Representative. I think that's a good point.
I think Senator Przanski has another question.
So, Mr. Daniels, just following up with Representative Barnhart, I didn't hear you say, I mean, are you saying that you think I-5 should definitely be the division, even through Cresswell, that you would take those individuals that are on the east side, that new subdivision, I think there's a Bi-Mart out
there.
Are you saying you would want them to be in a separate district from the rest of Cresswell?
Well, I mean, at this point, we haven't incorporated them into the city of Cresswell. And I guess when we're talking about this I-5 divide, I'm looking more in terms of our heavy population areas, which are Eugene and Springfield. If we were to use I-5 as the dividing point for the entire north to south region of the state of Oregon, you know, we'd run into a lot of trouble. We'd be cutting parts of Portland in half. It's not a viable alternative, or it's not a viable path to take for the entire state. I just believe here in Eugene and Springfield, I think Eugene residents and Springfield residents identify themselves separately as such, and it just seems to me that currently most of our districts in Eugene and Springfield, there's a lot of overlap, and it does put a lot of authority into the hands of the city of Eugene, which in a lot of ways, you know, overpowers Springfield in a lot of ways. And so I think it'd be good to be able to give Springfield more of a voice in the Oregon State Legislature, especially since, you know, a lot of, I think, the people that represent Springfield, well, I guess I'll hold that comment.
Do we go to Senator Beyer or Representative Beyer first? Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to clarify that during the last redistricting plan, that pretty much happened. My district previously, Nathanson's district previously was in Springfield on the east side of I-5, which was taken out and is now my district. So pretty much in Eugene Springfield, the dividing line is I-5.
Okay.
And Senator Beyer?
Except all of Glenwood, which is in Springfield, is on the east side. Well, actually, I guess not all of it. There's only a portion of it is in there. And it gets confusing because part of Springfield is served by the Eugene School District.
Yes.
It's hard to unravel it all.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'd also like to clarify to the buyers that when I was mentioning something about Springfield, I, in no way, shape, or form was saying that you guys haven't done a good job representing your constituents.
Further questions? Representative Byer.
Mr. Chair, I would never have taken that as any criticism. But despite, we still are, even the Glenwood piece is on the east side of I-5. So all of Springfield, which includes Glenwood and our urban growth boundary, is on the east side of I-5.
Okay.
Thank you both.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next panel will be Sean Van Gordon and Priscilla Southwell.
My name is Priscilla Southwell. I am a political scientist in the Department of Political Science at the University of Oregon. I've lived in Eugene for 30 years. My husband is a professor at OSU, and my son is a graduate of PSU, so we're all over the map. I was commissioned last year to write, I have a different tack than a lot of the other people. I was commissioned last year to write a book chapter on the redistricting process in Oregon. I am nearing completion, and this should come as no surprise to you, but I clearly have to put the word controversy in the title. I would really like to quote Tina Turner, another lesser-known political scientist who said, "We never do nothing easy." So my question to you is, looking back at the 1991 and 2001 experience, why are you here? I mean, you all know the experience. We did have our own killer bees in 2001 where the Democrats left and went to Warm Springs. It's a difficult, difficult task. And we as a state are so different than the rest of the Northwest where they have a nonpartisan commission to do this. And there was a bill in the 2005, it was a joint resolution, 2005 legislature and 2007 to turn it over to an electoral commission. There was a ballot, there was a proposed ballot measure that didn't make it on the ballot. There is a joint resolution right now, I don't know if it's still in committee, that would establish this commission with retired judges. It's called Special Masters, I'm sure you've... I really appreciate you being here, but this has been a task that has not been, the legislature hasn't been capable of handling it. The last two times, even when it's been turned over to the Secretary of State, he, both Phil Kiesling and Bill Bradbury have been subjected to many court challenges. I'm just wondering why there has not been more movement in Oregon to catch up with the rest of the Northwest and have commissions, and I would urge you to do that. I mean, I look at that map and of the congressional districts alone, and you all know that my district, this district, the 4th district, has 26,000 fewer people than it should, but you also all know that the 1st district needs 36,000. They're not adjacent. I don't even think the best GIS technique in the world is going to be able to figure that one out. It's going to take a lot of work. I think you're probably capable of attempting a bipartisan effort at this, but if the history is any indication, it's not going to work. It's going to go to the Secretary of State or to the courts for the congressional districts. And I applaud you for taking on this task, but I'm wondering, why are you willing to do this?
Before we go on, Professor Southwell, the answer to your first question, why are we here, it's clearly because we irritated the wrong people. We were assigned to this committee. Also, the resolution to which you referred that would appoint an independent commission is in committee. It's in the House Rules Committee, on which I also sit, and I believe it's scheduled for hearing on Monday. So perhaps you'd like to come testify.
Next Monday. Okay. Thank you. For Schools Alpha. Yes, I would love to do so.
So why don't we proceed with Mr. Van Gordon, and then we'll take more comments and questions.
Thank you. Sean Van Gordon, City of Springfield. I've been lived in the City of Springfield for probably 4 years, currently on the Springfield City Council. Professor Southwell was actually my undergraduate political science professor. So it just proves it's a small world. Thank you so much for coming out here to hear our public testimony today. I was glad to see so much of the Lane County delegation present on this, and I was glad to see my senator, Senator Beyer, here so he can stick up for the City of Springfield. I just wanted to express my support for the continued treatment of the City of Springfield as a community of interest on its own. Sometimes when we talk about the metro boundary or we talk about the metro area, we use Eugene Springfield in one sentence. And over the past 10 years, the economic growth and development that you see in the City of Springfield on its own, I think just solidifies that we should continue to use I-5 as the boundary between Eugene and Springfield. On the map that you got, you provided, it is showing House District 12 short, like pretty much all of Lane County as far as people. So the question, I think, is where do you go to get those additional citizens? I would prefer that you continue to go east opposed to break that I-5 divide. There's a large area that is inside the urban growth boundary south of Jasper Road that isn't in House District 12, and I believe there's portions that are still north around Hayden Bridge where we could continue to move towards the river and still maintain the integrity of House District 12 so Springfield has a voice in the House. Now, the other extension of that is, you know, there's a lot of controversy that revolves around the 2000 redistricting map, and Springfield is a location where it was right. You know, prior to that, the city of Springfield had been divided up a couple different ways into the city of Eugene. So I would challenge you to look towards how you treated the city of Springfield as maybe a model to start to look at how do you group other communities of interest. You've heard a lot of witnesses speak to the idea that you start to build with the cities and build outwards. And I think that's the standard you're looking for. A lot of people have spoken to that when, you know, rural versus urban, urban versus rural. Lane County is a diverse enough area that you will have some compromise. You will have urban and rural districts. But to the extent that you can minimize that, I would challenge you to do so. Thank you very much.
Thank you both. Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Professor Southwell, thank you for your testimony. Some of us just want to say, okay, let's go now. But I want to say that we're really putting in the best effort that we can to do the job that we were assigned. And we have been studying a lot about, you know, the history of redistricting and looking at the independent commission models in other states. And some of them, the independent commission comes up with a proposal and then it goes to the legislature for approval. That doesn't necessarily mean that there won't be court challenges. And even though there have been court challenges in the past, I believe that most, if not many of them, have been upheld. So that doesn't necessarily resolve that issue. Also, when we were over in Coos Bay, was that just last weekend? that issue was raised 2 weeks ago, and Representative Co-Speaker Arnie Roblin raised an interesting point that just I think really caused some interesting discussion about how with an independent commission we don't necessarily know where the people are coming from or their backgrounds, and it isn't necessarily a transparent process. Where we're doing this through open hearings, we'll have hearings on the maps, get input on the maps. And so I'm not sure that an independent commission solves those. I think it could be structured so that it did. And just in the way of history, you mentioned something about certain members going to Warm Springs in 2001. I wasn't in the legislature as a legislator in 2001. I was staff to a legislator. And it's my understanding, and some of you were there at the time, that the reason that the members of the minority party left the building was because the majority party was proposing to put the redistricting vote forward in the form of a resolution, which cannot be vetoed by the governor. Right. Typically, the redistricting plan is done by a bill which can be vetoed, and so there was an attempt to remove the ability for a veto, and that's what caused the exodus from the building. So that's just a little bit of redistricting history which you're probably familiar with. So I guess just want to reiterate that this is a task that we were assigned, and I believe that we're all committed to doing the very best job we can after considering many comments around the state and really sitting down and doing our best to work in a bipartisan fashion, coming up with an agreement. So, thank you for your testimony.
I think we had Senator Telfer,
Representative
Barnhart, and then Representative Reed.
And this is more of a comment based on some testimony from actually both Ms. Southwell and Mr. Van Gordon, in that you know, nobody up here owns one of their district seats. No district seat is the golden or the nothing is set in stone. Frankly, we're basically starting over, I hope, in that you say, instead of taking a current district and bumping it out like a balloon, I'm hearing testimony all over the state that says, you know, start with cities, you know, keep cities whole and then work from there. So I don't think anybody up here thinks they have a specific set in stone district
boundaries that they operate and represent. So I do think that this group really wants to be bipartisan, really wants to get good representation for all Oregonians, and that, you know, current lines may not be the way we start, and that we really do look at how do we encompass 127,702 people of common interest in one Senate seat, nesting two House seats. So hopefully there's some optimism here with this group.
Could I have a follow-up comment? Sean Van Gordon again. And I think one of the standards you have to use is that you have to look at the language and how you describe just in opening comments. And that is where I think we've got to go as a state. You know, when if Representative Beyer described when she said she was a representative from Springfield, and we compare that drastically with as we got to U of O, we started talking about the differences between buildings. As a citizen in the state of Oregon, you know, I follow politics relatively closely, but the average citizen should be able to figure out who their legislator is just by knowing where they live, and that's the advantage to starting with cities.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. Very briefly, I hope. Professor Southwell made a comment about the litigation and the controversy involved in litigation. My recollection from the last time, and I was one of those representatives who wasn't in the building for a few days at the end of June, precisely to head off what we thought was an illegal attempt to do redistricting by resolution. And it prevented a different set of lawsuits from having to take place because the quorum wasn't available in the House to pass the resolution for a few days. The point I wanted to make, though, and your comment would be welcome, is my recollection is that there were a number of challenges to the redistricting done by Secretary of State Bradbury. In accordance with the Constitution, which allows the Supreme Court to review all of that, as you know, my recollection is the only one that was upheld was based on a legal issue involving where the residents, the current residents of a prison, were to be counted. And so he made a small change to account for that. That's my recollection. Is yours any different than that?
No, it was Sheridan. The prison in Sheridan was incorrectly misplaced by the census, I think.
Correct.
It was actually a census change. It doesn't sound to me as though we're dealing with an area of giant controversy when that's the only change that got made.
Well, if I could respond, Priscilla Southall, I mean, you all are up to the task. I just think it's taken a considerable amount of time in the previous two decades, and it's certainly going to take a lot of your time now. As former Secretary of State Kiesling said in the Oregonian a few months ago, there are a lot of other better things for the legislators to be doing than this. I really think it's almost an impossible task for people that are within a particular party to do it, because there's a lot at stake that may not affect you directly, but it affects your fellow party members, Democrats or Republicans, or your party leaders. I just think it's difficult for people to make decisions that are going to have a direct bearing on maybe not their own career, but the careers of people that they work with every day. And that's the whole purpose of commissions. I mean, I think that's one reason why we don't have adequate campaign financing laws, either in Oregon or in the state, is that it's often Congress who has been the ones who have been, the job has been left up to. And I just think you would give yourself a lot more time to devote to other efforts. You would give yourself a lot more distance from the process. You would probably have a lot less heat from members of your own party. There's no way you can avoid, as we all know, having incumbents run against each other. Or it's a mess, and I'm not saying leave it to the experts, but I think retired judges are pretty close to ideal in terms of having that distance. That's what their job is. Thank you.
Representative Reed, did you have a question?
I do. I hope.
And then we have Representative Holby, and was there another one over here? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Professor Southwell, we've heard a lot of interesting testimony today and in our hearings in the Capitol around the precedent that's been set on the prohibition against diluting minority strength, and then today some of the demographic information. I wonder if you could comment on any exposure you've had to that and how it might relate to
All I know is Eugene. To Professor Southwell, Priscilla Southwell, no one calls me Professor. and people have already attested to that there's the federal law is the 50%. represent any district that has that 50% already is what you can't tamper with. But we also know about North Carolina, which is where you, which was successfully challenged against Marino, that you can't create a district that looks, that is there purposely created for racial homogeneity as well. So I don't think that's going to happen in Oregon, but.
Thank you.
Representative Holby.
Thank you. Just a comment, Professor Southwell. Just, you know, you started out with why are we here, and.
And I apologize for my rudeness.
That's okay.
We ask ourselves that.
Yeah, we do. We often do. But you know, essentially, you know, we are tasked with this job, and we're traveling around the state to listen to people about the communities of interest and about their districts, so that we have a better feel for trying to keep those communities of interest together as best we can, and having to divide the population, as you know. It has come up, and Senator Bonamici mentioned it briefly, you know, about the independent commission. I just a comment that, you know, a commission, even if it's made up of judges, you know, we don't know the partisanship of that particular commission, who appoints it, who elects it, you know, how all that transpires. I don't know that it would be much different than the committee that you see sitting in front of you, which is made up equally of Democrats and Republicans. So I don't know how you approach that independence in a commission model necessarily.
Right.
And I don't know how you put judges up on that higher tier of
yeah.
people. I don't know.
With Priscilla Southwell, without getting into too much detail, I've just looked at the draft legislation, the joint resolution, and it must be many, many thousands of words describing exactly who these 24 judges are, and you know, there have to be an equal number that in one way or another are nominated by you know, in terms of partisanship, and they are prohibited from running for office within a certain number of years after they step off a commission. They can't even accept a teaching job at the University of Oregon. It's a very long, detailed. I mean, it actually, I think, is very revealing of the depth of the controversy in Oregon, is that avoiding partisanship, even among these retired sets of judges, the set of retired judges, is a very, very, it's written into the proposed legislation. There are a lot of protections. So I think it can be done. It's certainly not going to be perfect, and certainly, as was mentioned, going to be likely to court challenges. Anybody can take anybody to court, and they will.
Could I add something to that? Sean Van Gordon again. Representative Holvey, I've seen, as we've had this discussion, that a lot of people are on both sides of that particular issue. And I think the real telling thing for the state of Oregon is going to be whether or not this commission is able to deliver on a bipartisan plan, you know, for the state of Oregon. If the plan is perceived to be the legislature has completed it and it is relatively bipartisan, I think the support's probably going to swing the other way to keep it as a task by the legislature. Thank you.
I should have known.
Comment.
Senator Bonamici was first, and then work our way down.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Van Gordon, if we don't have a bipartisan plan, we won't have a plan, because the
Fair
House
enough.
Is split 30-30. There's no way we can pass something that's bipartisan this session, so it's a sort of unique opportunity. You made a comment about how we should be able to know who our representative is based on where we live, which I think is a good idea. However, we had some testimony when we were up in the Beaverton area. I don't know if you've ever looked at where the city limits are of Beaverton, but one of my colleagues on the committee who isn't here today described it as, quote, crazy, close quote, because it's pretty much a patchwork, and there's a lot of unincorporated, urban unincorporated areas both in Multnomah County and Washington County. So it's very difficult to see. And for example, I live in unincorporated Washington County. I have a Portland mailing address, but I live in the Beaverton School District. So it is very hard in some of those urban unincorporated areas to be able to say, I know who my representative is based on where I live, because it's hard to sort of identify those areas just because of the change. So I also wanted to make a comment, and I'm sorry Senator Telfer isn't here at the moment, but there was a comment made about districts that are a community of interest. And ideally, a district would be a community of interest, but that is not our charge. Our charge is to not divide communities of interest. And so there could be, and there will be, districts that include more than one community of interest.
So I just wanted to clarify that because just because of the size of some of the districts, well, out and if you look at the map out in eastern Oregon, that's geographically a huge area. And yes, there's a lot of agriculture, but there's also some different communities of interest. And that will be the case in the districts that we're drawing, that districts will have to include more than one community of interest.
Could I make a follow-up comment? Sean Van Gordon again. I think you bring up some valid points, right? They're really tough. The challenge of this is in the state of Oregon that is so diverse and with so large geographically, how do you choose something that is a standard that you can apply to every place? And I think the reverse of that is that you have to do what you're doing right now. Come to local areas, take testimony, look to the people who know these areas. Now, to say that you will never divide a community of interest or to say that you will never... There's a lot of moving parts to this. I accept the fact that Lane County will have some House district seats and Senate district seats that have urban and rural components. What I'm asking is that you make an effort to minimize that, because when you look at the map, we have the core of Lane County is Eugene, and everything kind of works out from there. So to a certain extent, if you can minimize that where citizens know that the Eugene representatives or the rural Lane County representatives or the Springfield representatives, if we can simplify that conversation, I think it's beneficial to the state of Oregon. Instead of having to have a conversation that says when you cross this street or you have this building or portions of this community, that's the conversation that I want to avoid. Make it as simple as possible. A cleaner looking map is a better map for Oregon, I believe. Thank you.
Senator Beyer.
I appreciate that, having listened to a lot of these things over the last few weeks. But you know, one of the things that you know we've heard a lot of is people say don't have fingers or don't have these unconsolidated districts. But the fact of the matter is the driving force is population, trying to get them equal. And there is no way to do that in most cases without having greatly dispersed all over. And I'm reminded of the conversation we had in Coos Bay, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, and yesterday in Tillamook. And, you know, yesterday the person who came in and started in and says, I want to have the entire coast represented by one person, one senator, two things. And we looked at that and says, well, now you have nine legislators who form the Coastal Caucus and gives you nine votes in the legislature. Do you really want to trade that off to have one? And the gentleman, who frankly used to be a former legislator, said, you know, maybe that wasn't a good idea. But we've also joked that for all practical purposes, we have, in fact, the Senate minority leader. We call him the senator from Eastern Oregon because he damn near has the entire population east of the mountains. It's just a function of where people live. But I think there's a commitment, the direction that we have strongly from the Senate president on the Senate side, and I think the same is true on the House side, is they directed us to come up with a bipartisan plan that we can all live with, and we're trying.
Senator, thank you. Senator Beyer, Sean Van Gordon, but a lot of districts have peninsulas now, and I think that is driven by just the... Ironically, I spent a lot of time looking at state maps, driven by how the state transportation system is set up and how the communities developed. But not all House districts have peninsulas, and I think that's the challenge, right? To stay away from the absolutes and say, you know, in House District 12 doesn't extend out into rural areas. Look, not everybody has to have that peninsula. You can have purely urban districts and still, I think, meet what Oregon needs.
So we have one more question from Sam Zotsky, and then we'll move to the next panel.
Yeah, just really a statement. Priscilla, you asked us why we're all here. We all think we can do it, and I actually have my hope bracelet on that we're going to get it done.
Priscilla Southo, thank you very much.
Okay, so I think we have seven folks left. We'll start with Robert Beal and Edward Winter.
Hi, my name is Edward Winter,
and I live in rural Lane County, near Crow on Doan Road, and I've lived there for 24 years. And I originally came to Lane County because I got a job in the organic food industry, and I worked for a wholesaler at first, and then I worked for an organic food manufacturer for 12 years, and I've and I believe that there is a common interest between rural and urban. And as an example, for many years I worked for a loan fund that we established in Lane County, which solicited funds from urban residents so that we could loan money to farmers in the rural area. And there is that very much a common interest between rural and urban. And I think there's more common than non-common interests between the two. I'm going to make it very brief, and that is my statement. I really like what the last redistricting did, and including both urban and rural, and I hope that you do some similar now this time. Thank you.
Mr. Beal?
Hello. Robert Beal. I live in the Friendly Area neighborhood of Eugene, and co-chairs Garrett and Bonamici, and committee members and colleagues, I'm overwhelmed by your turnout. And I'm glad to repeat my testimony if there's another iteration of this process. But however, I am happy to testify before elected representatives. I would like my elected representatives in Salem and Washington to govern with a knowledge of and responsibility for the connections that make where I live special. Now, those can be literal connections, such as roads, as well as the construction and finance of other regional infrastructure. It can be where people live and work and where people live and study. In fact, I lived in the city when I first moved here and worked in the woods. And it can be where people produce, market, and consume. I'm gratified that both my Representative Holvey and Senator Krasanski are members of their respective committees because I believe they get the connections, particularly in the area of sustainable local food networks. For instance, as with the conversion from grass seed to high-protein staples, grains and beans, as well as the population magnet that Springfield and Eugene is for particularly the youth of surrounding areas. The rural-urban divide, to the extent that there is one, should be an unfortunate artifact of Oregon's immense geography and its history, not a creation of apportionment. As with economic development and planning, a unified regional approach is preferable to a bipolar urban-rural approach to redistricting. Thank you.
Thank you both. Questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Where was the camera?
Mr. Beal, did you say you lived in the friendly part of Eugene?
Friendly area neighborhood.
Which one of the representatives represents the unfriendly part?
Big neighborhood.
Big tent.
Further. Okay, thank you both very much. Go to Xenia Liebman, if I said that right, and Ian Borman.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
As they're coming forward, I'd like to point out that even though Friendly Street in Eugene is in another district, my district includes Happy Lane.
Oh, boy.
I saw you on YouTube recently, too.
My name is Xenia Liebman. I'm from Junction City.
and I retired there. I am one of the newcomers there, and I find that there are many newcomers to that, to Junction City, to that area. There are two new subdivisions in Junction City with people from outside the area, many work in Eugene and Springfield, and vice versa. They live in Eugene and work in Junction City. It could become a bedroom community with the new hospital. I go to Eugene very often, to the Halt, but I also visit the vineyards in the rural area, and there are many vineyards growing in that area, new industry. I frequent the farmers' markets, Thistledown and Lone Pine. I go sailing on Fern Ridge Lake. I am a duck and beaver fan. Whichever one is doing better.
Whichever one's winning.
And I live between the two of them.
You should run for office.
I know, you're doing just fine. my point is that the community areas are much more fluid than we think. They are much more diverse. They are much more mixed. And so advocating for a strong division between the rural and the urban, I think, is not good for a community. I think the mix is good, and let there be an open discussion of ideas and problems. I don't want a cougar staring me down, but I think there's alternatives other than to making them a pet or shooting them. So I think that there is more diversity. People are moving into these areas. It's not clear, rural, urban. And I think that we can solve our problems other than just convoluted redistricting. If I may put in my 2 cents worth, I don't think that redistricting based on the last election, just a pinpoint, is I as a voter would not think that's a good idea. May I please present that to you? And I also would be very cautious about having judges do this because I have a concern about the partisanship of the Supreme Court. So thank you very much.
Yeah, Mr. Borman.
Hello, my name is Ian Borman. I'm currently a student at U of O Lane. University of Oregon and Lane Community College. My recent political activity was sparked by my Speech 111 class, public speaking, and it really taught me that I need to get out there and put my voice out there. I think that Eugene and Springfield should be two different house districts. They have separate school districts, separate police stations, different city councils, and even separate energy providers. These are two different and separate economies, governments, and they make up two different communities. Springfield almost has a large enough population to be its own house district. I just don't think that crossing I-5 and the river is a good idea. It's better to go from the southern edge of Eugene and north above, let's say, Franklin Boulevard, just because I'm living on the south side of Eugene and attending classes. Keeping together the community of common interests is going to be keeping the population of Eugene as a whole and not carrying it across I-5 or over the river. By doing so, this should get the readily population of nearly 60,000 people in the community of common interest. This whole situation came to my attention when I learned that U of O is split down the middle. This close-knit campus community, which clearly has many common interests, the majority of it is in House District 8, but currently in Matt Knight Law Center, which we are currently in, is located in House District 11, which I kind of find a little bit fishy. South Eugene considers himself part of the campus community because everyone who lives in Eugene is always going to be a part of the University of Oregon and big things that are happening throughout the community. House District 11 should not have South Eugene residents mixed with rural farmers in Coburg. They don't have much in common, as, again, I think of South Eugene as as like-minded as the U of O campus. Again, because I've spent a majority of my time in South Eugene, and I'm currently enrolled in classes at both University of Oregon and Lane Community College, I'm not sure people living in Lorain, Oregon, who are currently registered in House District 8, have much in common culturally or economically with people near the U of O campus. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Representative Holby.
Thanks. I was just kind of curious about the comment about Junction City, and you go shop at Thistledown and the River Road area. And I heard that previously in testimony as well, as the Junction City community, River Road sort of being more of the same, as opposed. I mean, do you see yourself more aligned with that River Road area than you do perhaps with South Eugene?
I feel I am aligned with all of the above. I don't think that there's River Road is very much a part of my community, but as I mentioned, I also go to the vineyards, and they're all over, all the way down to the Lorain area. I go to Eugene, as I mentioned. I think it's just more fluid, and I think there's more diversity in that area than we give credit to. There's a lot of people that are buying 5-acre places in the rural area. They're enjoying the ruralness of it, but they're not the grass seed farmers necessarily. Now, I understand that, yes, that's what constitutes Junction City, a good part of this grass seed farmers. There's Guarantee, but there's also many other aspects of it. There's many other people. We move around a lot more than people think we do, all the way to Springfield, to Eugene. I guess that's my point. It's just more diverse than and to just set it to just create divisions based on what we think is rural urban is not, it would not be good for the community.
That was Mrs. Liebman for the record. And did you have a follow-up?
And thank you for that. I'm just kind of curious also, since you speak of us in a regional area, does Junction City get the Eugene Register Guard for its newspaper out there?
I read it every day.
As well as the Tri-County Tribune.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Ian, I just want to clarify the record. You stated that the U of O was split in half. Actually, it's only two buildings that I understand that are actually in the, let's say, adjacent district, which is the law school in Condon. There's no residents that live there. All the residents that are part of the university housing is in one district. And so I just want to make sure the record's straight that the population base, what we're looking at, and clearly I agreed with you, I think, based on the statements, why these two buildings weren't, don't know.
Well, part of it is a lot of the students that go to classes and go to all these buildings right here, they live all around the campus, and just right behind us is where a majority of the leases are signed. Like, when I've looked at apartments, I ended up settling just right across the street from South Eugene High School. I looked at probably four different houses that were located in between where we are and over towards Springfield, where a lot of the houses have had cheaper rent, so to speak, and a lot of students are finding that it's nicer not to have to pay, $600 to live right across the street from campus, but to pay, let's say, $400 with a roommate to live 10 blocks away.
Senator Beyer?
Ian, I understand what you're saying about the campus, but I think one of the earlier speakers talked about, don't measure us where we work, but where we live. And I venture to say, if you looked at the bus traffic between the MX bus, the big one that goes between Eugene and Springfield, that thing is loaded with U of O students, packed to the gills every day. And if you looked at the other ones over by, a lot of students live over at the Chase Village Gardens, too. It's really all over. I mean, people live all over the campus. The dormitories that are here are predominantly first-year students. But other than that, as you said, people are going to go where they can get the cheapest room, and they can be convenient. So I don't think you can confine the, quote, university student body to one geographic area. It really spans a much larger area now.
Yeah, and like you said about the bus traffic, there are a lot of students. These buses are packed coming from Eugene and Springfield, but what I've learned by taking classes out at LCC, students living in Chase Village and Ducks Village, they'll often find it faster to take the bus to Springfield and then to LCC instead of just going directly from campus or from Ducks Village straight to Lane Community College, which I thought was weird. It kind of looked out of the way and like a longer distance, but the fact that they have to do that so they can have space and get to their classes on time was a little bit funny.
That was Mr. Borman. And Representative Barnhart?
Thank you. I just wanted to find out if you were aware that University of Oregon students and Lane Community College students actually live all over the Eugene-Springfield area. They come from Creswell and Coburg and Pleasant Hill you're, I'm sure, aware of the fact that university professors live in Brownsville, and as well as all the other communities I've already named. In addition to the areas in West Eugene, Junction City, Bonita, Elmira, and other places.
Corvallis.
Yes, Corvallis, and other places in the neighborhood. I mean, the university's footprint and the community college's footprint is very large in terms of the area in the central part of the valley that it covers. And you're aware of that.
Yes, I've actually had students in my classes that drive up to 35 minutes just to get to class. They'll live with their parents in rural communities.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That was Mr. Borman again. I think we're finished with this group. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll call Laura Gilpatrick. I get that right. And Eric Bowers.
Okay, all right, thanks. My name is Laura Gilpatrick, and I am a former co-chair of the Active Bethel Neighborhood Association. However, today I am speaking for myself and giving my own personal observations. I have lived in my neighborhood for over 15 years. During that time, I have seen farm fields turn into housing developments and the number of people moving into the neighborhood grow to the point where the Bethel School District has had to construct 3 new schools to accommodate student population growth. Demographics of this population span from young families looking for affordable housing to older citizens looking for a place to retire. Many new people have moved into the area and are not native Oregonians. For example, my next-door neighbor on one side, both of them retired from their jobs and moved up here to be closer to their son, while my other next-door neighbor on the other side immigrated here from Pakistan and sending their kids to school and essentially pursuing the American dream. What I see happening in Bethel, I also see on the west side of Eugene, as well as communities north of Eugene, such as Junction City. Overall, in this region, people are looking for a combination of affordable housing, jobs, and education for their children. In my mind, a community consists of much more than just geographic borders. We have become a much more mobile society where common interests bring a community together as much as, if not more than, geographical boundaries. Some of these interests can include work, recreation, as well as economic interests. In regards to recreation, I see boating enthusiasts from both Eugene and Junction City driving out and, well, going sailing and boating on Fern Ridge. City of Eugene actually offers sailing classes and boating excursions on Fern Ridge as well. Workers, they'll go to where the jobs are, whether it is in Eugene or Junction City. For example, at its peak, Country Coach in Junction City employed 1,500 workers, while Hynix in West Eugene employed 1,400 people. I knew quite a number of people in my neighborhood who worked at one or the other companies, and I did read a statistic that said about nearly 33-34% of folks at this point now work in, who live in Junction City now work to Eugene, or work in Eugene. Finally, in regard to economic interests, the majority of residents who live in this region tend to live like paycheck to paycheck, or they're on a fixed income. So access to affordable housing as well as jobs should be considered when it comes to redistricting. And in conclusion, I would like to note that when decisions are made and the lines are drawn, it should be kept in mind that various neighborhoods and communities are often more deeply connected and have more common interests with each other than what just can be seen on a map.
Thank you. Bowers.
Representatives, senators, my name is Eric Bowers. I'm from Harrisburg, Oregon. This whole morning I've been listening to all the testimony, and I think I've heard Linn County mentioned once. And Senator Byer is my senator, and Representative Barnhart is my representative. And I don't care if the University of Oregon is split or not split. I think Eugene and Springfield should be split, but I don't think a guy from Linn County, Southern Linn County and Harrisburg, should be in a different district than his neighbor across the road, but be in the same district as somebody here in South Eugene. I have nothing in common with these people in South Eugene. I have more in common with the people of Jefferson County, which Linn County also borders against. I can go to Eastern Oregon, I can go to Jordan Valley, or I can go to Joseph, and I can find half a dozen people I could visit with in about 5 seconds that have a lot more in common with me than I would be in some professor out of South Eugene or some lawyer out of South Eugene. And I understand that you've got to have a certain amount of population in these districts. And I probably got more in common with somebody in the Thurston area of Springfield, or the people of Crestwell, or the people of Pleasant Hill. But I think Mr. Bradbury gerrymandered these districts, and I know it went to court, and I know it was thrown out. But it just doesn't make any sense to go all the way, take a district all the way to Lebanon, come down, pick me up, swing around Springfield, come back into the backside of South Eugene, and so those people can outvote me. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So I guess that's my opinion. I did one more thing. The petition that was circulated to have a judges determine the districts, I think it was a good petition, but I think it should have been retired farmers with the districts. So.
It'd be farmers and college professors. Senator Bonamici.
Thank you. I just want to make a comment to Mr. Bowers that when we were over in Central Oregon, somebody testified that if we needed to add people to his district, just make sure they knew how to bale hay and drive a tractor. So
I know how to do that. Thanks, Mr. Holvey. I even know how to do it better.
Further questions? Thank you both very much. We have one more person who signed up, Andrew Becker. And is there anybody else in the room who came in and didn't have a chance to sign up but would like to testify?
Indeed.
Sir, come on down.
That works. Now we have three.
Go ahead. Why don't we start with Mr. Becker, and then we'll take the next two.
Becker?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to testify. My name is Andrew Becker, and I live at 49th and Donald Street here in Eugene. I lived at 48th and Donald Street for most of my life until I was 18, and now I'm a student at the University of Oregon. And I really think that, you know, despite some of the qualms I've heard about it, the Bradbury map gave us a very evenly divided state. I know that political considerations are supposed to be below your purview, but in a state that has a liberal lean and a Democratic registration advantage, we still see a very even split here. So I think that you know, some worries about its effects might be a little overstated. I think that trying to rigidly divide urban and rural areas and urban and rural voters actually would be a partisan act and would end up dividing many communities of interest. Living in the South Hills for nearly all of my life, I feel strongly that House District 11, for example, is in a community of interests that is well represented. My neighbors and I live in a highly hilly and very thickly wooded area. It's slightly suburb-like, but I can tell you that I go to Cresswell more often than I go to North Eugene. And I know more people in Cresswell than I know in North Eugene. So I really think that we are better represented by living in House District 11 than we would be if Eugene were split up into two or three purely urban districts. I know that a lot of people think the same way, and that the kind of spoken wheel method has really given these communities of interest something to stay united over. My interest in redistricting is to see that existing political boundaries are utilized, as is your charge, and that you know, hopefully existing political boundaries are respected and strengthened, not scrapped for political advantage. And with regards to a comment earlier about the U of O, if someone has any questions about, you know, whether or not this side of the U of O is, you know, is rightfully a different community of interest than the other side of U of O, the police reports could help there. They're definitely very different neighborhoods.
Okay, thank you. Sir, in the middle, could you state your name?
Yes. My name is Gary Crum. Live out on Crum, C-R-U-M.
Could you spell that name, please?
I'm sorry?
Could you spell your name for us, please?
C-R-U-M. Crum.
First name was Gary?
Gary, G-A-R-Y. We live out on Hall Road, out in the boonies west of Junction City. We moved there in 1971. We were California hippies who came to Oregon, and contrary to Governor McCall's request, we stayed. my first comment would be, I've heard the term nonpartisan used by several persons. I'm 68 years old. I've met one person who was truly nonpartisan. He couldn't read. He couldn't write, and he wasn't very smart. Okay, so we're all partisan in ways. We all have opinions. We all have values. We all have ideals. What I would ask of you is to put aside that partisanship and to try to come to some kind of a plan which makes, and this is a new concept here, common sense, something that works and something that everyone can live with. And if it makes common sense, it's awfully hard to argue against it. I'm kind of an odd duck. I'm an urban-rural person, or perhaps rural-urban. Our kids grew up drinking goat's milk. One son and daughter graduated from Lewis and Clark. Her younger son's a student at U of O. I taught in Junction City, taught in Corvallis, taught in Salem. I come into Eugene. I came into this meeting. As soon as I leave here and go out and pay my parking ticket, I'm going to meet with one of our grandsons, and we're going to go play tennis at Eugene Swim and Tennis Club. Now, at Eugene Swim and Tennis Club, I got a lot of tennis buddies who are big hitters in Eugene. John Brown, real estate guys, attorneys, you know, all these folks. When we sit and have discussions, they call me a flaming liberal. And perhaps that's true. but we have a lot in common. When I play Texas Hold'em Poker in Junction City, I play with Bruce Anderson, who owns Eugene Livestock Auction, and three or four guys who are grass seed farmers. We have a lot in common, too. I think if we look in a realistic way at the urban-rural interface, it's geographic, certainly. As Mr. Prozanski points out, it's also economic. And as many of you are finding, it's also political. But in fact, I think that interface is extremely important in all those ways. And when I hear the idea of communities of interest and separating those community of interest, it bothers me. I think we need less separation, not more. One of the things that our Commissioner Bill Fleener did and did very well was have these little town hall forums. And he would come to Junction City and we would sit down, and at that meeting there would be farmers, there would be teachers, there would be business people, there would be all these various interests. And we would find that we have a lot more in common than we ever thought we did. So I think it's important for you as representatives or senators to be able to sit down in a room of your constituents and not simply be preaching to the choir. I think it's important that you hear all these diverse views and that your various constituents also have the opportunity to interact with each other. And if we truly had an urban-rural split in the House or in the Senate, that wouldn't be occurring. So I guess the one thing I would ask of you is whatever you come up with, let's have it make sense and let's have it be something that really helps promote the type of civil discourse which I think is so crucial to the political process. Thank you.
Thank you. Please just state, and if you would spell your name since we don't have it in writing here, I appreciate it.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Clark, and I live in North Eugene, and I'm a member of the Eugene City Council. I appreciate the committee's attendance here today and work and giving up your weekends to do this difficult work. I'm sure that I would find it very, very difficult, and I'm glad it's your job and not mine. I came today to listen. I did not intend to speak, but something occurred to me to say while listening, and then I overheard an idea in the back of the room that I thought was kind of interesting that I'd share with you. So I guess the thing that I heard that made me think a little bit was we've heard quite a bit of information about the idea of communities of common interest. And I suppose for me, the underlying sort of motivation for that reference in the language is the idea of helping the districts you create and the people that represent them give an authoritative or an authentic, that's really what I'm looking for, an authentic voice to that representative for the cultural similarities of the people that they represent. And I think that's a good reference point, at least for me, and I'd offer that as something that you think about in this process. Another thing that I heard Mr. Morgan say, actually out in a foray, that I thought was interesting with regard to how you create the appropriate congressional seats within this big map of the state, was something I've never heard before, which is interesting. You have, as a process, two House seats nested inside one Senate seat. Perhaps with the congressional, and I don't know if this is a good idea or a bad idea, but it's a thought. Perhaps one way to look at the congressional work is to nest six Senate seats inside one congressional seat. And that was an idea that I hadn't thought of or hadn't heard of before, but the math works out right, and it's an interesting enough thought that I thought I'd share it with you for your edification. So, thank you.
Good morning or good afternoon, senators.
It's my grandson. He's ready to play tennis.
Oh, We planned it all right so that he can announce me with the music. So.
my apologies.
Representatives, senators, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. Actually, like Council Clark, I was here only to listen and to learn. My name is Juan Carlos Valle. I live in South Eugene. Okay. I want to first thank you for your service. I know that you, by being here today, you also sacrificing the time that you are spending away from your families. Thank you for your service. This is, in fact, a week or month of recognition of public service, so I want to say thank you. A couple of things that I've heard earlier mentioned today, besides the common interest, is the racial and the diversity. I have been participating in a lot of civic venues, such as the Eugene Police Commission, RAPA, and more other venues. I'm also the board president of Centro Latinoamericano, but today, of course, I speak only on my own behalf. That is something that I hope that you will consider. A lot of the things that I've heard from Mr. Van Meer are actually something that hopefully will take as a conversation, not just in the state of Oregon, but in the nation. I hope that you will consider accepting my comments that I will be sending in writing. It will be, of course, in some of that regards. Again, thank you, and I hope that you consider coming back, not just for this and working bipartisan, but also coming back to listen to the contingency. Thank you so much.
Could you spell your last name for us, please?
V.S. Invictor, A-L-L-E. Okay. First name, Juan Carlos, J-U-A-N, space C-A-R-L-O-S. That's a first name.
Okay, thank you. And before we go to questions, I just wanted to address one of your points, Councilor Clark, in terms of the nesting. One of the reasons that's not been done, and probably won't be done again, is because there are different legal standards that apply to the congressional population and the state legislative. We have to do basically strict equality for the congressional districts down to the individual, and we have somewhat more latitude for the state lines. We need to keep it pretty close, but we can be off by a couple percentage points. And so to keep communities together, we may need to do that in a way that we simply can't do for congressional lines. Senator Pozanski.
Mr. Co-Chair, I just have to follow up with Mike since he gave us this example. 6 into 36 equals 6, right?
36 into 30 equals 5, as near as I know.
You're doing countywide, or were you saying by Senate
districts?
Senate seats. Okay, got it. I thought you were doing by counties.
Senator Pozanski, Mike Clark, I'm happy to help with the math any way I can.
I know you are.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Councillor Clark, I agree with Representative Garrett on the reasons. We actually explored that idea just because it made sense and that, this will be simple. We just draw the legislative districts and draw the congressional districts around them. And we asked an expert who we had testify via video conferencing, Professor Justin Levitt, who's wrote the Systems Guide to Redistricting, and he couldn't think of any examples where states had actually done that just because of the ability to deviate a little bit more at the state level. And I also wanted to respond to Mr. Crum's comments, which I found really helpful. It reminded me of some comments that we heard in the Beaverton hearing from someone from Washington County who said there are advantages to having a representative represent people with some divergent interests because it really forces you to learn and understand other sides of the issues. So I appreciate your comments and glad you're here.
Further questions? Representative Holby.
Thank you. My question is for Mr. Carlos. I was, as we heard some testimony about the Hispanic population in the whole region, can you kind of tell us where you think the concentrations of the Hispanic community live within our region? Because I've heard a lot of different things. I've heard Creswell, I've heard, you know, Springfield, West Eugene. And so it seems like they're pretty spread out, as a demographic in our community.
Representative Hovey, my name is Juan Carlos, that's my first name. You can call me Juan Carlos, that's fine.
Sorry.
Depends on which city you go. you want to be able to connect with entities that serve the population, the Latino population, as we call it in Oregon. You want to get in touch with entities like Centro Latino Americano, whom works closely, very, very closely with specifically low-income families. If you were to speak in terms of Eugene and Springfield, earlier was mentioned some of those boundaries. If you were to look in Eugene, for example, you can find a lot of the population, low income primarily, in the West Eugene corridor and quite a bit in the North Eugene, which is Santa Clara. And in Springfield, it will be to the north side of Main Street. Now, it's funny thing that in Springfield, the Latino population, they're growing rapidly in regards to per capita. But they're also establishing not only homes there, but also businesses and really igniting the local economy. And you can just kind of take the same approach with different cities. There's a lot of pockets. You couldn't say that the Latino population is only one area. There's certainly residents in all Eugene and Springfield and whole Lane County. Central Latino Americano serves Lane County residents, but the majority is in the West Eugene and in several parts in Springfield. And that is something for you to note, because as you are representatives, you, well, the questions you're asking me is very important, because in the end we're going to look up to you to see how, what kind of plans you have to serve our population. And also, what can we do to help you not only learn and give you some information, but also bring you down here to help you learn?
Thank you.
Questions? Representative Kim.
Yeah, this may be directed back at Mr. Crum. We've heard a lot of testimony about rural-urban divide, and you were trying to, your testimony was basically saying knock those divisions down. Gentlemen before you had given specific testimony, lives in a rural area, said, based on where I live, how I live my life, other people that are in those particular areas. We've heard a lot of the rural people say, make sure we're represented by other rural people who vote rurally, but we're hearing urban people say, knock down those divides. Can you talk a little bit about maybe why your position is better than the other position?
Well, it's different. I won't say it's better. I'll say it's different. Tell you a little story of one of my neighbors when we moved up here. Great guy, farmer, fourth generation Century Farm. A guy by the name of Ernie Smith. Wonderful man. And I got to know him. He got to know me. He was very helpful to me. And one day he said, you know, Crum, he said, I blankety blank, you're all right. He said, you're not like the rest of them damn teachers. He said, every summer you go out and you cut firewood every day to make money. Okay? In other words, he had a stereotype. And by knowing me and by interacting with me, I think we broke down that stereotype a little bit. And by playing Texas Hold'em poker with a guy by the name of John Rislev, who's a fairly big-time grass seed and mint farmer, he and I have found that we have a lot more in common than we would have had we never interacted. I think if the gentleman in the back here, I think if he and I sat down and had a beer together or something, we'd learn a lot more about each other. In the meetings that our West Lane Commissioner Bill Fleener had, there would be some real urban folks there and some real rural country shoot them damn cougar people there. And in those meetings, we found that we shared a lot of concerns, a lot of ideas, and there was more commonality of interest than we would ever have known had we been separated. And as far as representation is concerned, it would be possible to gerrymander this state where there may be a state representative who represented only farmers who have farms of 2,000 acres or more. It'd be rather a large gerrymandered district. But
they could elect someone who, by golly, would represent them. But when they got up there among the 60, they'd be one. They'd be one. And I'm not sure that would be the best representation for those people. I think a better representation would be able to sit down with your representative, with other folks, and share your views and have that discourse that is so crucial to the political process. Does that make sense?
Thank you. Senator Telfer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Along those lines, I represent the largest Senate district currently in the state, but I have a very diverse district. And I can tell you when I have town halls, I have dramatically differing opinions amongst my constituents. And when I vote on something, there's a large number of my constituents that may be opposed to the way I'm voting, and there's a large number in support of it. So it's a real tough balancing act. So, but I understand the diversity benefit in representation. But would you agree that if we were to move in a diverse representation versus a common interest representation, that it would have to be balanced? As an example, you know, I have a large number of, I have very equal Republicans and Democrats in my district. And if I had a majority the other way, like a lot of Democrats versus Republicans, I would hate to see the Republicans be not represented. So give me your feelings on if we're going to have diverse representation, how would you envision that?
Well, you know, you obviously can't ignore the geographic component, okay? You can't be so concerned about balancing that you ignore that. I think one lady made a very good point saying, hey, my representative or my senator or whatever is in Newport, and it's a two-hour drive for me to get there. And it's also a two-hour drive if that rep should come and try to have a town hall. So geographic representation obviously needs to be considered. Absolutely. The urban-rural thing, I think if you look at the demographics of the state of Oregon, the bulk of our population is in fact urban. And that's not unusual. And if you're going to have districts, in many ways, those districts are, in fact, as several persons have stated, they're going to start with cities, and then they're kind of going to go out from those cities to include the suburban or the rural areas near those cities. So those districts are probably, to quite an extent, also going to represent the demographic balance in those three population components, urban, suburban, and rural. And it's rather difficult to get away from that. And I think, obviously, your experience is certainly testimony that as a representative, you need to balance those needs and to try to come up with solutions to issues that best serve all those components of your constituency. And I know that's probably not real easy.
And for the record, that was Mr. Crum. And do we have...
Does that make any sense?
It makes... yes.
It's getting late.
No, let me answer honestly. Honestly, no. Because what I was saying is that there are times where I am not representing a large number of my constituents in a vote, which is down the line. Half the constituents want me to vote yes, half want me to vote no. I have to make that decision. So obviously I am not representing a large number of constituents. And so what I was saying is that in order to at least represent a diverse district the best you can, you need to have more, at least balance. You can't have an extreme number of Democrats I guess what I'm saying is you need to balance the political party affiliation or the liberal conservative considerations, the rural-urban, you have to have balance there, or somebody really is not going to get any representation.
Well, let me use the Register Guard as an example.
This is Mr. Crum.
I know the Register Guard has something right when they've irritated everybody.
Okay? All right, I'm with you.
And I think as a representative, when you reach that balance you're talking about, you're going to have some people PO'd over here and some PO'd over here. And that's a thumbs up.
Okay. I get your point.
Representative Cameron.
Success.
Mr. Becker, this one's directed at you, and it's a very similar line of question. Mr. Bowers was here before you, testified what he did not need to be included with the University of Oregon because his community and his farm or whatever that he's doing out in Linn County is very, very different than what's going on here with you as a student at the University of Oregon. Yet you testify to say you need to be included in his farm area. Can you tell me what you do and why, and in fact, if you were running for office, how you would even understand what he does to be able to represent him?
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, my name is Andrew Becker. I have a lot of people that I know that live in Cresswell or around Cresswell on farms. I go out to eat more in Cresswell than I even venture into North Eugene. Living in the South Hills, there's always more of a sense of being closer to nature than if I were to live in the city core, which I have. I've lived at 5th and 6th and Jefferson, and all sorts of different places around. But I think that there's definitely other considerations there. You know, just because I live closer to Eugene than I do to an actual farm, doesn't mean that all those people that I know in Cresswell or living around Cresswell, or the people that I know, even out in Veneta, which is way on the other side, that we don't have some very strong common interests. And House District 11 does stretch up very far north. It's partially a result of how sparsely populated a lot of that land is. And, there's really no way getting around how sparsely populated some of these areas are. And they've got to be included somewhere.
Thank you. Further questions?
I just want to make just a brief comment that, Mr. Becker, I think that Councillor Clark is going to talk to you afterward about some places to go out to eat. And
sure.
Senator Bonamici, I just wanted to say that, of course, I have the privilege to represent Happy Lane as well, and I'd like to invite Mr. Becker. I know we have some North Eugene pride there. We'd love to have him up.
All right. I think that wraps it up. Thank you, all four of you, very much for testifying. Last call on testimony. Anybody who's arrived and didn't sign up? Representative, right here. Okay, thank you. Representative Nathanson and Senator Edwards, did you want to testify? Representative Barnhart?
No.
Okay.
Close it.
He doesn't want us to ask him any questions.
Yeah. If you would state your name, please.
Yeah, my name is Chris Mattson, M-A-T-S-O-N. I currently live in South Eugene, which is kind of unusual because I'm a Springfield boy, so it's a lot like a fish out of water. I wasn't planning on testifying like Councillor Clark had mentioned himself, but some arguments were made that I think need clarification because I was legislative assistant to State Representative Robert Ackerman during the last redistricting in 2000, and Secretary of State Bradbury had made it clear that he wanted to try the urban-rural integration. The question that comes up with that is, and we've heard a lot of arguments today about because there's some integration between the urban and the rural as far as business or as far as transportation and arguments that are made by that, like that. There there, you know, you can make the case either way that these are communities of common interest or not. And of course, the definition of communities of common interest is pretty ambiguous, mostly because the hard court cases have never been presented. And as any attorney will tell you, you know, if you don't file the lawsuit, you don't have a judgment, you don't have an opinion. Okay. And the clear point of that is that in order to reach that urban and rural, the last redistricting plan had to purposely divide. What happens in a situation, okay, I'll ask the question, what happens in a situation where you purposely divide a clear community of common interest? And in 10 years ago, well, we have one in this area. I mean, you can see them throughout the state. Becky Lemler had mentioned the division between Vinita and Elmira, which had been recognized as a community of common interest. They share the same school district. They share the same economic development chamber, everything. But it was an area that was divided. The clear one here is the division between House District 13 and 14 in Santa Clara. And this is a clear divide, a purpose divide of a community of common interest, because it is a area that 45 years now, but 10 years ago, for 35 years, we had documentation in public record, in reports from the newspapers, and recognition from just every agency and whatever, that Santa Clara was recognized as a common community. But in order to reach the urban-rural division that Secretary of State Bradbury needed, he had to divide clear communities of common interest to get there. There was never a court case filed. Out of the 11 court cases that were filed, a few of them did deal with the nebulous concept of communities of common interest, but there was never really any clear documentation. Had circumstances not happened in which a legislator moved up to the Senate, there would have been 12 cases. And we had a stack of documentation about that thick. My attorney, who was my state representative, and I had a discussion with the former Justice McGillette on this once and made that presentation, and he said that would have been one that would have definitely violated the concept of community of common interest. I'm not arguing for or against the urban-rural interface. Quite frankly, just tell me what the playing field looks like. I'll figure out how to win it. But I do say that in areas such as Santa Clara, that was purposely divided. I mean, this is a district that was divided along side streets, alleys, and even along property lines. When there were major highways, major markers in the area, in order to accommodate that concept of the integrating the urban and rural, his staff made no bones about it. That's why they did it. If you do that, I think then you delegitimize the concept of a fair and non-biased division. And then you bring up the idea that maybe we're diluting certain constituencies in order to win elections, because that's been the biggest argument about the Bradbury redistricting plan, is that urban did dilute rural. And if you try to avoid that and keep those communities of common interest, like Councillor Van Gordon had mentioned, try to keep the urban cities to the largest extent possible. Try to keep those integrated and build out from there. Understanding, of course, that there are going to be connections between urban and rural. Communities such as Junction City, Vinita, and obviously Cobourg do have ties to the metro area. They share common urban growth boundaries. They share common economic development strategies. But other communities, such as even Cresswell, Cottage Grove, Oak Ridge, West Fir, do not. And the concept of integrating them into an urban area, an urban section, or even three precincts out of a large metropolitan area, and calling that a community of common interest, that's a stretch. And unfortunately, that has not been tested, but I suspect that the next election cycle, there will be tests. And as you know, as Judge Gillette had said, some of them are going to be decided yes.
All right, thank you. I want to offer a final opportunity here.
Can yes.
you state your name?
Thank you. I'm Marie Bowers. I'm Eric Bowers' daughter. And while my dad failed to mention that he is a fourth-generation grass seed farmer and I am the fifth, some comments I just have about the urban-rural divide, and I'll try to keep this brief, and thank you for your time. The young gentleman who was sitting on this side, I forget his name, was saying basically that he should have a say in what goes on in my farm. And I love the fact that there are so many urbanites interested in what goes on in Oregon agriculture and what's happening on the farm. However, they're not in on a daily basis. So it's my job as the farmer to educate the urbanites, sorry to like say the urbanites necessarily, but what goes on and why we do the practices we do on our farm. It's not their job to tell my state representative or senator how I should run my farm. And it is my representative and senator's interest to represent my interest at the legislator. And I appreciate Senator Tesler's comments. He's actually my senator at the moment because I live in Redmond. I missed the Central Oregon hearing, so my dad woke me up this morning and said, let's go to a hearing, and I said, okay.
That's what everybody does. Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's been taking me to hearings since I was in second grade, so it might be a sickness that we have. But I guess that's my point with this redistricting is, while it's great that the urban folks and the people who want to get into their small hobby farms, I'm really happy that they're so interested in farming and agriculture in Oregon. However, when it comes to making the decisions that affect Oregon's natural resources, those representative centers should represent the people who ultimately control the natural resources, that's their livelihood. Our livelihoods shouldn't be decided on someone who lives in South Eugene. So that's my 2 cents.
Okay. Thank you very much. Do we have any questions from the committee? Representative Reed?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mattson, thanks for your testimony. I was just curious, you mentioned that you grew up in Springfield. What do you do now?
I'm a political consultant.
Thank you.
Sarah Telford.
Did you drive over this morning for this meeting?
No.
Oh, okay.
I drove over because I have an Oregon Women for Ag auction tonight. So.
Oh, okay. I thought you just drew up.
No.
I was going to say, that my constituents are dedicated.
Okay, thank you both very much. I think that wraps it up. I think we've gotten some fascinating testimony today. Thank you all for coming. Before we adjourn, I need to read into the record. We've received testimony from Barb Taylor of Tillamook County, dated April 16, 2011, and Harriet Wagner of Benson County, Corvallis, dated April 16, 2011. Since this is our final day of road hearings, I just want to say another big thank you to our staff who've done a terrific job getting us set up around the state. So thank you all very much for getting here and getting us taken care of. Representative Holby?
Mr. Chair, I thought maybe you could at least let people know about the website all of that
thank
would
you.
Be good.
Good point. For those who didn't testify today but would like to in the future or to follow the activities of these committees, we have a website, www.leg.state.or.us/redistricting. We'll be posting information there throughout, as well as maps when they're released. And the address is also on top of the handout you received. Thank you again to the University of Oregon for hosting us today. I'm going to close the House Committee on Redistricting.
And I'm closing the Senate. Before I do that, I just want to let everyone know. The college from 3:30 to 6:30.